Hello, this is Paul Smith from Maximoor Park. I'm speaking on the Camperman podcast, and if you want to listen to our new record, Stream of Life, please do. It's out now.
Hallihallo, hier sind die Camperman. Ihr habt also das richtige Programm eingeschaltet. Ja, auch im Winter sind wir hier für euch da, denn warum soll man nur von O bis O, also von Ostern bis Oktober campen? Nee, wir campen das ganze Jahr durch. Und wir haben uns mal überlegt, dass wir in den letzten 6 Jahren an so vielen Stellen schon waren und mit so vielen spannenden Menschen gesprochen haben. Das wäre doch schade, wenn man das vergisst. Und wir haben tatsächlich so viele ganz bekannte Persönlichkeiten am Mikrofon gehabt und die möchten wir gerne mal wieder aus dem Archivkram und euch hier in den nächsten Wochen vorstellen, diese Gespräche nochmal ans Ohr bringen. Unser heutiger Gast ist Paul Smith von Maximoor Park. Die britische Indie-Rock-Band aus Newcastle existiert schon seit 2003 und sie ballern seitdem ein geiles Album nach dem anderen aus. Ihr letztes heißt Stream of Life und Paul Smith ist mit Nadine zusammengetroffen, um über das Album, aber auch über geile Ausflüge in der Natur zu sprechen und wie sich das Ganze bedingt. Und da gibt es eine Menge Geschichten zu erzählen. Aber vor allen Dingen geht es natürlich um die Liebe zur Musik. Und da ja, blüht das Herz von Nadine richtig auf. Man merkt, das ist ihr Genre, aber ihr könnt auch eine Menge hören. Und ich freue mich, dass wir Maximoor Park hier bei Camperman dabei haben. Das Gespräch ist auf Englisch. Damit kommt ihr klar. Wir heißen noch Camperman und nicht Campermänner. Also von daher, viel Spaß.
Ihr hört Camperman, der Podcast zum Einsteigen und Aussteigen mit Henning und Gerd.
Hi Paul, hello. Nice to have you on Camperman.
It is a pleasure to be on Camperman.
How are you?
Good actually, yes, we're in the middle of our tour at the moment. And as we speak, it'll be over by the time this podcast comes out, probably. But we did the UK and Ireland leg of our tour. And at the end of it, I got COVID and didn't realize that was happening. But I felt a bit under the weather. And then the final two shows, which were hometown shows in Newcastle, were extremely difficult. I still didn't know I had COVID, but I was flat out. And then we had 1 week to recover.
Oh, no.
And then it was time to come out to the rest of Europe. And thankfully, the shows have been going well so far. And people seem to like the new material, which is always something that makes me feel good. It makes you feel like you're doing the right thing with your new record. And so, yeah, feeling very good. Thank you.
Your new album came out in September. And when I was doing my research, I realized it's actually been 20 years since you released your first single.
That's right.
Do you sometimes wonder where time's gone?
A little bit. I mean, sometimes it feels like, you know, a lot of time has passed and there's definitely a lot of water under the bridge. But on the other hand, yeah, it feels like we're just still in the sort of our prime, you know, like I feel like we're getting better as songwriters. And that is usually the way it goes with art. You know, to me, pop music is art. And my friends who are visual fine artists, they get better and better at what they do, but pop music has a sort of a backwards version of that. It's people tend to, I don't know, they get sick of it, or they run out of ideas, or they try and recreate the same idea to earn money. Lots of different reasons. I've no idea why, but I want to get better. I want us to learn from our mistakes. I want us to try new things with each record if possible. And yeah, it feels like the 20 years, I know that it is a long time. I'm aware of it, but it doesn't feel like that. And it just goes to show how fluid life is. You know, life just is one continuum. However, we can break it up and go, well, we've done 8 albums in 20 years. I've done 3 solo albums. I've done 2 collaborative albums. And so I can kind of break it down into eras, but that's not how life works. And everything kind of spills over into the next era, which reminds me of a book that I've read fairly recently called The Years by French. I think she won the Nobel Prize for Literature, French author Annie Ernaux. And it's this kind of amazing book where she talks about her life and world events that have happened to her over, I guess she wrote it maybe when she was 70 or something like that, and she's maybe 80 now. And yeah, it's got this amazing sort of span of things. And it just, to me, it sort of made me feel how life isn't boxed off and able to be, you know, put into these little categories. It's just this flow, and some things come back. There's a kind of return to things. And that feels like my life as well. You know, the things that we feel individually are linked to the bigger world, and our lives are complicated and they go by very fast.
You said you want to get better, but there's a line in favorite songs on the new record: my best years are behind me, but I'll be damned if I'm giving up.
Absolutely. Well, this is I thought it would be funny to open a song like that. And then when it came to putting it out as the as one of the early songs on the record, I mean, it was the first song that people heard from the record. And as a sort of, you know, becoming a middle-aged man, still making pop music, I thought it would be slightly funny, at least. And also, there's, you know, a defiance to it, and the idea of, you know, people may think my best years are behind me. I don't. But on the other hand, I also know that that's true from a physical point of view.
Physical point,
you know,
of view, it is.
Scientifically, we are, you know, declining from whatever it is, 26 or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you look back at your life and go, wow, yeah, I had all this energy. I had, you know, the physical, you know,
strength.
Peak, and it's gone. And it, you know, it's, I think a lot of our songs are dealing with reality and not trying to varnish it and hide things. It's kind of like saying, yeah, this is, life is a lot of different things all at once. And, you know, it reminds me a bit of the opening lines on our second record, which was the song Girls Who Play Guitars. And it says, you've been with me a year to the day, 365 days watching me decay. You know, this is life. You know, we are shedding our skin very slowly. And yeah, I think our songs hopefully have an urgency because of their willingness to reckon with time and with the finite nature of our own lives, which gives us if that doesn't give you an urgency, I don't know what will.
I mean, I guess people could argue, you know, that the hype, the first record, first two records maybe had is over, but still, obviously you're still around 20 years later, which gives you a point. And also, I was thinking, like, you won't stop, but maybe also you can't. I know, I mean, you've got your home studio, you've got all these other projects you mentioned. Can you not stop? Is it not an option?
Certainly not. No, I don't feel, I mean, I haven't had a holiday in a long time. And I treat being on tour a little bit like a holiday. You know, when I'm not working, you know, extremely hard on stage to for the audiences, really, to bring them in and to give them everything that I have. You know, I spend my days walking around. You know, today I went to the Hamburg Kunsthalle, and yesterday I went to a few record shops and the St. Pauli Stadium, and just wandered the streets and went on the U-Bahn. And just to me, I'm quite lucky in that respect, that I feel, even though it's not like a rest, I see so many things that stimulate me and give me inspiration. And I feel like, I can then go into the next project, if you want to call it that, whatever it might be, with a full, you know, full energy and excitement to do it. And I mean, again, I feel like life is short, and I feel like I want to do so many things and make so many different types of record. And I have thought to myself, am I repeating myself? Am I running out of ideas? In which case I should stop. I don't want to do that. You know, I'll find something else to do. But each time I think that, something else comes along and goes, oh, this is interesting. This feels sort of like something new. There is part of me that can't stop, but I also want to stop if it's not good. And there are other lines on the record, like, I mean, the end can be as good as the start. If the end is not as good as the start, I will be the first to depart. You know, that whatever relationship it might be, this is it. You need to sustain that. But to me, that's less negative and more positive. It's like saying, I will fight to make things good. I will keep trying for things to be great, whether it's the end, the middle, or the start of something. And it, you know, you can obviously apply that to our band as well. You know, that certainly the in terms of the mass audience, the first two records were talked about, played on the radio, and again, pop is so fickle that inevitably that you can't sustain that unless you are one of the big boys, you know, like the Coldplay or whatever kind of you know, measure of your, what your yardstick of success is, Taylor Swift, whatever it is, it's, there are only a few people who can pull it off and are allowed through the sort of eternal gateway of stardom. And, you know, it was almost never meant to be for our band. You know, I don't know why we had a larger success than what we have now. You know, we have a really strong, solid fan base who know what to expect, and they know that we will do the odd thing, the occasional odd thing to wrong-foot people. But we also love songs, we love melody, we love lyrics that you can relate to, as well as hopefully that stimulate you intellectually, but they are emotionally driven pop songs ultimately. And, you know, I believe that anybody could listen to our new record and love it, but I also know that that's virtually impossible. You know, the hype goes somewhere else very quickly, and to still be here 20 years later is great. You know, I feel lucky to have a career in music, and that's another reason why I don't want to give it up, because I want to do this forever. But again, I love music so too much to come up with something mediocre. Again, in the final song on the record, it says, you know, when this stops being fun, I won't hesitate. I'll run. You know, complacency is not for me. There's nothing worse than mediocrity. I'm just writing my own obituary, because, you know, some people will think it's mediocre. I'm, you know, it's me laughing at myself. Yeah. But, you know, this is our band. It is self-reflexive. And self-reflective as well. You know, there is something where I, as the narrator of the songs and writer of the lyrics, I am trying to investigate my life all the time, for good and for bad, and for fun and for melancholy. And, you know, if I feel like that well runs dry somewhere along the line, it would be. I'd love to think I'd have the foresight to say, no, we've tried to make another record and it's not as good as the other ones, so that's okay. But to me, I think there's a consistency to us that I feel strongly about. And, you know, everybody in the band will feel differently about each song, each album. But I maybe because I'm so connected to the lyrics and I sing them, singing is a very personal means of expression. I feel like perhaps I don't have the sort of detachment that even other people in the band have. So to me, it feels like a consistency, and that's what we reach for every time. Just does it live up to our own expectations of ourselves? Anyway.
Talking about doing something else, what do you do if you don't make music, if you're not in your studio and you're not touring?
Well, I mean, I read a lot. I used to watch more films than I do now, but since my daughter was born, going out on a night is very rare thing. And if I do go out on a night, it's to a concert. And yeah, I know
what you mean.
Yeah, that's my thing, because you can't recreate that buzz of a concert. Whereas you can watch stuff at home, and I believe in the cinema. I believe in going into this external place, but I know that it's temporary and it will come back. And sometimes, you know, during the daytime, I'll go to a movie, but I've kind of, yeah, moved more into reading. And I love listening to music. You know, when I go home, I put music on. But since we're on Camperman,
I was going to say, I heard you.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
One of the other things that I like to do is to be in nature and go for walks. And I find it calming. I'm not sure my daughter does. So that's that, you know, you have to choose your moments. But one of the things that we love to do is go to National Trust properties. And in the UK, there is a charity that looks after a lot of the historic outdoors and, I guess, stately homes, monuments. The National Trust has so many different things. There's another thing called English Heritage, which you can join. And so we've joined the National Trust, and it means that we go for whatever it is, £100 a year or whatever, we end up going to lots of different places. And
what kind of places, you know, especially, yes, like around where you live, for example, where do you go?
Well, one of the main places that me and my wife love is a place called Cragside. And it was it's not a stately home because it was built a little bit later. It was built in the sort of late 1800s and then was kind of built upon by a guy called William Armstrong, who was, amongst other things, an arms dealer, an engineer. And it was the first hydroelectric powered home in the UK, I believe. And so there's a lot of kind of scientific interest there. You can watch the hydroelectric stuff being, you know, you can watch the water generating the energy. And it's also a very, they built upon this kind of little country house. Not that little, but they built more and more onto it, and they built in the arts and crafts style. So when I was at university, I did art history, mm-hmm. amongst other things, and we studied the arts and crafts movement. And so there's like William Morris wallpaper in there. They have an art collection of the that corresponds to the arts and crafts movement. So there are interesting internal aspects to it, but the estate itself is incredible. And it's kind of quite hilly, so you can do a good climb up to where the playground is. There's a playground on the other side, and
so win-win. So, daughter,
yeah, exactly.
Heavy.
That's how we actually do some exercise.
Should we go to the playground?
So that makes things a bit easier to do that. But there's a big lake out the front of it, and another smaller sort of lodge, which is now the cafe area. And there's stables there, which are all, not, they're not in use, but you can have a look around them and again, get a flavour of this other time. But it's got this beautiful bridge that goes across a sort of ravine. And Lady Armstrong was a very sort of forward thinking in terms of landscape gardening. And so there's a rock garden that ascends up this crag. So the house is built on a crag, on this big bit of rock that's out of the side of a big hill. And you can climb, as I say, you can climb up through the rock garden, which is a little bit, you know, you've got to watch your step. You could fall and slip down a little bit. And so, yeah, for us, it's kind of, it's magical, even though it was designed by Armstrong and his wife. And in Newcastle city centre, there's a place called Jesmond Dean, which was actually given to the Armstrongs as a wedding gift. And it's this this beautiful kind of valley that they used as a sort of, not a template, but like they landscaped this whole area before they did Cragside. And so it was a kind of it was their sort of guinea pig, if you like. They practiced on this place, and it's lovely. Again, it's got this beautiful Armstrong bridge, that beautiful iron bridge that goes across it, and they have food markets there once a month, and it leads over to from one kind of suburban bit to the next, from Jesmond to Heaton in Newcastle. And so you can go for a walk in the city in this beautiful dean, and there's water running through at the Ouseburn. I think the Ouseburn goes through Jesmond Dean. And I'm getting confirmation from Andrew Lowther, our bass player over there. And to me, you know, there's like a little waterfall in there, and that's quite close to our house. And so in the pandemic, Jesmond Dean was a real sort of balm for the soul, you know, in terms of not being able to go very far and yet having this beautiful bit of nature in this sort of very close to the city centre. And so, yeah, the two places that I really love are connected. And, you know, with it being a National Trust property as well, it has, in all of these kind of places that they do it, there's a stately home called Gibside, which is really nice to go to. Again, the playground is great at Gibside, which is very important. Yeah. And so when my daughter was younger, I would take her there, and she would be excited to go, and it was nice to be out of the house and outdoors. And they all have scones. Do you know what
yeah, of course.
Yeah, there you go. So you can go and get a scone and... Yeah.
Get, be happy.
Yeah, my daughter loves scones, so that was lucky that there was something that she liked to have as a treat. And so we'd get a scone, we'd get some jam and cream on it, and I'd have a little Coca-Cola, a little whatever, Coke Zero, and she'd have a little apple juice. And it's still the same, you know, like when we go to, we go and we still have these, just a nice time in these sort of stately homes. There's another one on the way to the sea. The sea is very close by.
I was going to say, I was almost in Newcastle this year because we went to Scotland with our camper van.
Oh, yeah.
And the ferry went from Amsterdam to Newcastle. So I saw it I just saw it from the ferry. We didn't have time both ways. But yeah, I was a bit sad because I would have loved to see it, especially the beach looked really nice from the ferry.
It is. This is the thing. Like, it's a beautiful bit of coastline. And on the way to there...
Which people don't expect, I think, in Northern England.
Even our manager, we've got two managers, and one of them's Italian, and they live in London. And, you know, they come up to Newcastle and have done for 20 years since they've been looking after us for that amount of time. But I remember saying to our Italian manager once, he said, what have you been up to today? I said, I've been to the beach,
And he just laughed.
He was like, oh yeah, the beach, eh? And I was like, it's beautiful, man. You know, it's not as cold. It's not as warm as you might want it to be sometimes, but it is an area of outstanding beauty. And my mother, she actually got a caravan there recently so that we could all, and my brother's family, we could, you know, go and have a nice time and stay there for a few days at the weekend.
Right on the beach.
I wish it was.
No, but like...
But it's very close. Yeah, it is close.
Yeah.
And so to me, yeah, it's very nice to go. And you feel away from real life. And you're only half an hour drive, 25 minutes from the centre of Newcastle where I live. And so, yeah, on the way to the sea, there's another place called Seaton Delaval Hall. And again, this grand family lived there. And they have, with all National Trust properties, they have information about the people who lived there and had all of these kind of Victorian parties. And, you know, obviously it's like affluent, you know, the people who have either, you know, fallen into ruin or have bequeathed their property to the National Trust. There's a lot of interesting historical things around these places, as well as them being kind of beautiful.
Beautiful.
And it's
nature,
nice. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's nice for working class people to be able to to wander around these old places.
Mentions, you know? Is this the first camper van in your family, or have you done anything like that before when you were small or something?
Yeah, well, when I was small, my nana, my grandmother, she had a caravan in Whitby, which is in North Yorkshire, so not far away from where I come from, about an hour and a bit away from, I'm from near Middlesbrough, and that's kind of in the middle, it is Middlesbrough for a reason. It's kind of between Yorkshire and Newcastle, and it is the midpoint. And so I feel like my mother wanted to have the caravan because she knew how nice it was for us to be able to go on a little holiday from time to time. And obviously my nana would be at the caravan by herself. And so my mum sometimes goes to the caravan, but it's been very difficult after the pandemic and getting around has been very different. So yeah, it's kind of interesting how these places change. We still use it a lot, but I would like my mother to use it a bit more, but that's just the way things go.
Yeah, but it's great to have it so close as well.
It is. I mean,
like a little weekend getaway.
Well, exactly. I mean, it has crossed my mind that I could just go there and write, you know.
True.
There's no, like, you can buy internet, but she hasn't bought any internet for it. And obviously we can use our mobile phones, but it's that idea of it being a kind of a separate place where you're not connected to all of the hustle and bustle of everyday life. So yeah, it's one of those little, especially with just a kind of a family thing, you know, something where it feels special because you're doing it with your family, even though it's cold on a night and there's, you know, it's just a kind of tin sort of shed at the edge of the country. There's a bit of an adventure there, you know, especially a kind of controlled adventure. I think I'm not that adventurous. I like that idea of it being able to lock the door and go home.
All right. Now, we talked about your album that's out. You mentioned the tour that's sort of almost coming to an end. What's next for you next year?
Good question. Well, I mean, it's 20 years since the first record next year.
Next year, true.
And people often say, you know, can you reissue it? So maybe it's time for that kind of thing as well, and to sort of
maybe an anniversary tour.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
So there, you know, that would be an interesting idea.
Yeah.
You can credit me. Yeah, there you go. You've planted the seed into my mind. But yeah, I think we don't look back very often. We did it when it was 10 years, and that felt like a long time for a band to be in existence and to have put out whatever that was, 5 records at that point. And so for us to still be around and hopefully making good music, it's, you know, I think that's important to me. As long as I feel like we are evolving and moving forward, I don't mind paying service to the other stuff, you know, because I believe in it. You know, if I didn't really like our first album or the next one or whatever, I wouldn't feel comfortable with doing it. But I want the songs to live on, and I want them to have a new life. At the concerts, I see so many younger people getting into our music that it makes me feel like, yeah, it's okay to look back every now and then. And you know, you've got to do it the right way if you feel comfortable with it. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to play our first album in order, because we did that on the 10th anniversary for, you know, 3 or 4 shows in Deutschland, mm-hmm. and maybe four or five in England. So it felt a short amount of time, and it felt fun. That's the main thing. And everybody loved it. So let's see what happens next year.
Okay. Yeah. I keep my eyes open. I would come either way.
All right. It's a promise.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking the time.
All right.
We'll see you next year.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Camperman, auch online. Unter camperman.de.
So, das war die Sonderfolge, unser VIP-Extra, unser Interviewgast mit Promi-Faktor, den wir schon einmal bei Camperman zu Gast hatten. Und ich hoffe, es hat euch Spaß gemacht, mal reinzuhören, mal mitzureisen, wie ja diese Promis da draußen so mit ihrem Campinggefühl unterwegs sind. In den Shownotes zur aktuellen Folge haben wir natürlich auch noch ein paar Links hineingepackt, damit ihr nicht nur unseren Promi noch mal ein bisschen genauer kennenlernen könnt, sondern auch noch ein paar Informationen zu aktuellen Aktivitäten und vielleicht auch zu anderen Folgen unserer VIP-Sonderreihe. Solltet ihr irgendwas mit Zeitbezug gehört haben, ignoriert das einfach. Diese Folge ist schon ein paar Wochen alt, und sollte in dem Interview irgendetwas mit Pandemien oder so besprochen worden sein, auch das bitte ganz schnell vergessen. Damit wollen wir nichts mehr zu tun haben. Aber trotzdem ist diese Folge so wertvoll für uns, dass wir sie gerne nochmal ins Schaufenster gestellt haben. Und ich hoffe, es hat euch genauso viel Spaß gemacht wie uns. Und ihr schaltet auch nächste Woche wieder ein, wenn wir in unserem VIP-Spezial den nächsten Promi am Mikrofon haben. Also, bis dahin, ganz liebe Grüße.
Das war Camperman. Seid auch nächstes Mal wieder dabei.